from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll find out what is marching into the Children's Museum this summer.
I'll get a preview of Emmanuel Ax's concert at Butler Schrott Hall.
And I'll go backstage with the Young Actors Theater. Plus there'll be that arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Painted terracotta warriors from China are marching into the Children's Museum this May. Travis DiNicola spoke with Dr. Jeffrey Patchen, president and CEO of the Children's Museum of Indianapolis, about this extraordinary exhibit.
Jeff, welcome back to Art of the Matter. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, you have got some great things, again, going on at the Children's Museum. It seems that just you have one big blockbuster exhibit after the next up there.
Well, thank you. We've got an exciting summer of all things China.
Yes, you do. Let's start with the Terracotta Warriors, because this is pretty exciting stuff, and they're just such amazing sculptures, I know, with amazing history to them, and you're going to have, what, eight Terracotta Warriors?
We are going to have eight warriors and about 100 other objects from that time period.
Wow.
So it's very exciting for us.
So tell me why this is an important time period and why these Terracotta Warriors are so important and exciting.
Well, it's really the blockbuster that we're putting on as a prelude to Take Me There China, which actually opens at the same time, which is our Take Me There gallery is our international gallery. And first focused on Egypt from 2009 to 2012 and now and 13. And now we'll focus on China.
And the Take Me There China is contemporary China.
Contemporary China, absolutely. Yeah. So you'll have a chance to land in a wide-body jet into Beijing, you'll have a chance to visit a variety of modern-day entities in China. But the Terracotta Warriors kind of kick it all off, and it's our companion exhibit with Take Me There, and it'll focus on how the warriors were painted.
Yeah, because each one was different, right? I mean, that's my understanding, that each one, as they've discovered them and found them and have cataloged them, each one is slightly different.
The facial expressions are all different,
yeah,
which is pretty exciting when you think that there are literally thousands of these, how they were mass-produced, the bodies mass-produced, yet each face is a little bit different. And then when you think about the paint, that brings another whole meaning of artistic expression to the craft, really, of creating these warriors.
What do we know about the history of these warriors? I mean, there were thousands of them, and they were buried with—
Literally thousands, that about 220 B.C. They were found in 1974 by a farmer who were digging for water for a well outside of the main gates of Xi'an, which is a walled city.
Okay.
And almost as they were being excavated, the paint was disappearing without much means to document that until recently. And some German and Chinese scientists have discovered, indeed, the origins of these different colors and have been able to, as they're pulling more warriors out of the ground, actually able to preserve some of the paint as they're being extracted from the ground.
So even today, not all the warriors have been pulled out or uncovered? No.
No. And I was reading that Emperor Qin is the most famous emperor there, but there are 100 other emperors that are buried in and around Xi'an. And so what we're really excited about is that one of the artifacts, one of the warrior parts that's coming is a partially painted head. And it's the first time it's ever been out of China to the United States.
That's just great. And Emperor Qin, my memory of the story is that he's the one who started this to protect him in the afterlife?
Exactly. And, you know, he was 13 when he became emperor. And he's also well known for creating a calendar of time for the Great Wall, for unifying China. So quite an emperor.
Well, and a 13, that's got to have a lot of appeal for the children coming to the Children's Museum.
Absolutely. You know. Absolutely. And in the exhibit, in the Terracotta War exhibit, mm-hmm. kids will have a chance to, and adults to focus on the vibrant paint. They'll have a chance to participate in a Paint a Warrior computer game, actually sculpt their own warrior face out of clay,
okay.
and mold their own warrior using a molding system with clay,
huh.
and build their own little terracotta.
That's very
army,
cool because so. Things are hands-on there. It's not just
for adults
looking
and
at
kids.
Objects.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The Children's Museum seems to have really developed a great relationship with many foreign countries over the past decade or so, but especially China. You've had other partnerships.
It has. We actually started in early 2000s as we were putting Dinosphere together mm-hmm. and involved the top paleontologist in China because we had an egg nest that came from China and invited them to participate in helping us design the Dinosphere exhibit.
Okay.
And then as that relationship grew, we also began to focus on terracotta warriors and how we could get on the list mm-hmm. of museums in the United States that might be eligible to have the warriors.
They must
here.
Trust you an awful lot.
Well, I think they came and did an inspection,
yeah.
not unlike when we had King Tut, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
So we had a safety and security, humidity, yeah. temperature, security, all of that kind of thing review and passed with flying colors. And we are fully accredited just like the IMA or the Art mm-hmm. Institute of Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. So,
but is it unusual for a children's museum? I mean, I know you are the largest and the best, but and I'll just say that.
Well,
but,
thank you.
But isn't it somewhat unusual for a children's museum to have exhibits of this nature and size?
It's really unusual for a children's museum to be a collecting museum.
Yeah.
You know, we have about 120,000 artifacts from all over the world. And because we're a collecting museum and have to have the necessary infrastructure for curatorial and conservation, et cetera, we're a possibility for yeah, these
are
large
like the
exhibits.
Type yeah. of exhibits you'd expect to see at a natural history museum or
true.
Or what have you. Yeah.
And part of our mm-hmm. focus continues to be family learning. And so mm-hmm. we want there to be as much for adults as there are for young children and older children and necessarily mm-hmm. create those spaces and places and opportunities for hands-on learning that require the family to learn together.
Yeah, that's a great way for people to experience the museum. So tell me a little bit more about this, the contemporary China exhibit. The what's the name of it again? The
Take Me There.
Take Me There. Take Me There. So, because that sounds pretty cool.
It is very cool, and it actually focuses on five different cultural perspectives related to modern day China. Covers the workplace. Covers sorry the living spaces, mm-hmm. home, rural and urban.
Okay.
It covers the fresh marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
It covers the environment and what the Chinese are doing to preserve the habitat for the giant panda.
Mm-hmm.
So we established a relationship with the Chengdu Giant Panda Breeding Center. We won't have real pandas there, but
that'd
kids
be pretty great.
Will learn about how to take care of them and,
okay.
and the care and feeding. We
just in case they ever are in a situation where they need to care
there
and feed
go.
A panda.
There you go.
You never know. I hear they eat lots of bamboo, so
they do.
Be prepared for that.
They do. Lots of attention to language and communication, so kids mm-hmm. will have an opportunity to learn some very basic Mandarin. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. My name is, that kind of thing. They'll also have an opportunity to write and to learn calligraphy.
Excellent.
As part of the exhibit as well. And we focus on also a cultural immersion experience where we have developed a relationship with the Shaolin Temple in central mm-hmm. China. And we'll have Shaolin monks actually for the opening here
like
at the museum teaching some basics of Kung Fu and not just the martial art yeah. aspect, but the whole psychological aspect of preparing one's mind and body, et cetera, et mm-hmm. cetera, et cetera. So that will be part of it. And then a Beijing mm-hmm. opera experience where you get to
wow.
don Chinese opera clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And paint your face, not your face, a mm-hmm. photo of your face
okay.
on computer and paint it as it would be for Beijing opera.
Very fascinating. So in organizing these exhibits, I mean, obviously you're working with China on this, but is there outreach also going on to the local Chinese community?
Oh, absolutely. The local Chinese community has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And ICCCI, and a whole group of folks who live and work in Indianapolis who are Chinese, mm-hmm. have been wonderful volunteers, wonderful advisors, helping us plan the gala on May 9th with food selection and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then the performances for the – not just for the opening, but throughout the run of the – of the Take Me There China.
So really all summer long you're going to have different events and different performances.
Absolutely.
And activities and such.
One gentleman is coming from Chengdu who is a long spout tea pourer who does kung fu. So he does kung fu while he's pouring tea with this incredibly long spouted teapot and pours your tea in your cup 5-10 feet away.
Wow.
It's very, very
fun. Oh, I want to see that.
And a mask changer, a Sichuan mask changer. Yeah.
How fascinating. So you're just smiling with delight as you're talking about this. I mean, it sounds like you and your staff, I'm sure, have had such a great time working on this.
It has been a lot of fun. Yeah. And we not only have staff visited China in these relationships, but also we've taken board members, donors, friends of the museum over to China a number of times. And we'll continue those family trips starting next year.
Very good. Tell me a little bit more about the gala you said you have coming up on the 9th.
The gala is on May 9th, and it's being hosted by John Lechleiter and Sarah Lechleiter, honorary hosts. And it will feature an incredible evening of nonstop performances from Chinese performers from all over China, courtesy in part to the China Tourism Bureau, who is one of our major sponsors.
Excellent.
And the Consul General from Chicago will be here, as well as the Ambassador to the U.S. from China, Ambassador Shui, will be here for that opening as well. The Lieutenant Governor, the Mayor, State Superintendent of Public Instruction, and our Secretary of Commerce.
Now, will that be at the Children's Museum?
At the Children's Museum.
Very good.
On Friday night, May 9th.
Excellent.
Tickets are still available.
So all the information, of course, of whether it's from the gala to the exhibit schedule and all the different special performances and programs is on the Children's Museum's website.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you, Jeffrey, in your experience in working on this, I mean, it sounds like you've learned a lot about Chinese culture and Chinese history. What's something for you that really stands out, something that maybe surprised you or just still kind of amazes you?
I think the thing that still amazes me about China is that through the incredible transformation of the last 30 years, there are still these incredible pockets of culture, like the Shaolin Temple, the monks there. And
that really haven't been affected by the outside culture.
They have, but they've retained their culture and their interests and their philosophy and the like. And folks can still go and visit and experience a part of indeed ancient China in a modern contextual setting. And so I think that's part of the uniqueness of China that we're trying to bring here and help increase everyone's awareness of modern China, but its roots to ancient China.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, it sounds like just a lot of great programs planned at the Children's Museum. Of course, there's always lots of other great stuff going on, too. And I do have to say that I'm so thrilled that Adult Swim has continued on. Because I remember a couple years ago you were on Art of the Matter and we were sort of joking, like, wouldn't it be nice to have some sort of event where it was just adults only? Because there's so many cool things at the Children's Museum that adults want to do. And, of course, now you've got Adult Swim every February. That's a great event.
We do. I mean, we've done it twice. It's sold out both times. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be an event mostly just folks eating and having a little something to drink, and it's actually turned into this incredible remembering your childhood
people
kind of
play.
Thing where people want to play. And so they're, you know, they're watching the water clock, they're underneath the pond, they're riding the carousel, and so it's kind of that discovering that child that you thought you left back at the Children's Museum when you were 12 or 15.
Nothing wrong with that at all either. Well, lots of good stuff. And Jeffrey, Dr. Patchen, thank you again so much for coming in to Art of the Matter. Always great to talk with you, and really looking forward to these exhibits focusing on both historical and contemporary China.
Thanks, Travis. It's a pleasure to be here.
Travis DiNicola with Dr. Jeffrey Patchen, President and CEO, the Children's Museum of Indianapolis. Terracotta Warriors, the Emperor's Painted Army, runs from May 10th through November 2nd at the Children's Museum. More information at childrensmuseum.org, childrensmuseum.org. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
Piano powerhouse Emmanuel Axe is touring with a Brahms-inspired program this season, and the American Pianists Association is hosting Mr. Axe at Schrott Hall at Butler University on Tuesday, May 13th at 7:30. Sharon Gamble invited the APA's Joel Harrison to tell her about the concert and about what he's doing during his Creative Renewal Fellowship in New York City.
All right, Emmanuel Axe, tell us about the relationship between the American Pianists Association and Mr. Axe.
Well, Sharon, you know, he's a marvelous pianist and a wonderful human being. We're thrilled to be able to bring him to the city to be on our concert series called Grand Encounters. This is certainly the first time that we have sponsored Emmanuel Axe in a solo concert. And I believe he might have played on a private concert in Indianapolis some years ago, but for the most part, this is the first time he's played a major public recital, solo recital, in Indianapolis, and we're really looking forward to it.
He's a multi-award winner, has a great cadre of recordings to his name, popular soloist, popular chamber musician, and he's become something of a proponent of contemporary music, especially of late.
Yes, he is, and on the concert that we're sponsoring, he's doing a couple of things. One is a work by Missy Mazzoli called Bolts of Loving Thunder, we, meaning American Pianist Association, commissioned Missy Mazzoli to write a piece for one of our five finalists for the Classical Fellowship Awards, and that work was premiered last April, as part of Discovery Week of the Classical Awards.
Right. Characterize her music for us.
I don't know that I can. I don't know enough of her music to fully talk about all the various styles that she represents. It's an approachable style. Certainly, the two piano works that I know are well written for the piano and not overly challenging to the first-time listener.
Now, this work that will be on the concert on the 13th is called Bolts of Loving Thunder. I sense it's a programmatic piece?
I don't know the piece.
Ah, got it.
So,
we'll know later.
I don't think that the performance in Indianapolis is the world premiere.
No.
But I believe this is a new work that that he's playing on his concerts this particular season.
I'm trying to search for a theme here because the other three works on the concert all circle back to Clara Schumann in one way or another. The second Brahms piano sonata
right.
might have been written to impress her. Is that a stretch?
Might have. I can't say with authority. We don't hear that sonata too terribly often. It'll be wonderful to hear it by him. And, you know, we're hearing a lot of Brahms this year on our series. Several of our performers have played it. I'm especially looking forward to the last work on the program, the Variations and Fugue on a theme by Handel by Brahms. That's a magnificent work, big scale piece, just magnificent. So it'd be fun to hear it.
And fairly early, right? He was late 20s, maybe 30 when he wrote it?
I can't tell you his age at that point.
Yeah, but why are you attracted to it? Why are you eager to hear it?
I find it fascinating the way Brahms, you know, because it's a set of variations and then the fugue. And I'm fascinated with what Brahms does with that theme, you know, to go through so many different approaches to it and yet maintain sort of the basic structural outlines of the theme. It's a work that, I don't know, a work of great musical architecture, I think, to me.
It's become almost a rite of passage, or was almost a rite of passage, for composers of the 19th century anyway, to write works that had variations on a theme.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, a lot of that was more superficial type of variations. And in this case, Brahms is writing a very, very serious set of variations, more akin to what Felix Mendelssohn did, Mendelssohn wrote a set of variations, which he called variations serios, a serious variation. And in doing that, he was trying to show the distinction between what he was attempting to do and what other people had done with the variation form in a much more superficial way. And so I think in this case, Brahms is following the lead that Mendelssohn gave, in that it's a very serious work.
So the more superficial ones were meant to be parlor tricks, basically.
Something like that.
Yeah. Not to, you know, diss them or anything, because certainly they're fun as a pianist to tackle. To work your way through all the different styles. So I said that the concert kind of circles around Clara Schumann, with whom Brahms was in love forever and ever and ever, and wrote lots of things with her in mind. The piece, the Brett Dean piece, let's talk about that one.
There's not a lot I can say because I don't know the work. And again, I think this is a new work. What I do find fascinating is the way Ax has interspersed it with the four works that comprise Brahms' Opus 119.
Mm-hmm. What I read by the composer was that his homage à Brahms can either be performed on its own or interspersed between Brahms' actual piano pieces of Opus 119.
Right. And I think, you know, when we first got the program, the Brett Dean piece was listed separately. And then on a revision of the program, it became clear that it was going to be interspersed with the Opus 119 of Brahms, which fascinates me. So I'm eager to hear it like that.
Yeah, yeah. It gives us a whole new context. The composer also wrote that he was specifically referencing the long and complicated relationship Brahms and Clara had, because these pieces emerge out of the idea of a line or a part that's absent, the person not by your side, which
right.
is kind of very, very, very sweet and
yeah.
and melancholy.
A bit.
Yeah. So as a pianist, and certainly as someone who guides pianists, what is it about Brahms that is so difficult and yet so enticing?
I love the music of Brahms. I played it early on as a piano student. I did it all during my student years, and then continued to play it for a number of years while I was a university professor. It's hard to say. There is a highly personal quality about his piano writing, especially his later piano works, intensely personal. And they speak to us both as a pianist and just general musician, I think, in a variety of ways. But I think it's that appeal to that innermost part of who we are.
Mm. This program that we'll hear in Indianapolis on the 13th is Emmanuel Ax is performing a number of places, and I read in someone else's program notes that he wrote, "I've loved the music of Brahms since I was a teenager. We still listen to music on long playing records, and I wore out two copies of the B-flat piano concerto played by Arthur Rubinstein. The more I got to know his music and his personal story, the more I admired both. I believe it was Herbert von Karajan who said in an interview that Brahms's music is like a deep well. You can keep drawing from it forever and never come to the bottom." And Ax concludes, "It remains a very true and potent image for me. I've been studying and practicing his music for 40 years and wish that I had another 40 to understand it better." And to hear a musician of that caliber say that makes you wonder how anybody ever dare tackle the repertoire to start with.
Well, of course, we feel that way about much of the repertoire. I mean, we can certainly say that about Beethoven. You know, I don't think we've ever fully mastered everything there or plumbed the depths of everything that Beethoven had to offer, or Brahms, or, you know, any of these great composers. That's why that music is still around, is because it's still offering something to us.
Sure. And you can come back to it time and again. Years ago, Jerzy Belolovets had just recorded Brahms 4 with the Czech Philharmonic and had a new recording, and I had him in the studio and said, how do you know you're ready to conduct Brahms 4th? And he said, you're never ready. You're never ready. You just leap. It's a leap of faith.
And, you know, I've never heard that from a great conductor quite like that. But I used to tell my students, and it would be with myself as well, when I would be learning a faculty recital, you know, you keep practicing and practicing and practicing. But you do get to a point where if you want to learn more about it, you're going to have to go do it in public.
Mm.
That's sort of the risk that we take. You know, we reach a certain level, and for us to go beyond that, we're going to have to test that. And so we test it through that public performance.
Flying without a net.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Hey, those of our listeners who are regular listeners might be thinking, Joel sounds a little farther away than usual. It's because you are, in fact, in Lower Manhattan as we're having this conversation. Tell us why you're there.
Yes, I am, and really enjoying life immensely. Thanks so much to the Arts Council, because I got a Creative Arts Renewal Grant a little bit ago, and now I'm using it, and now I'm living it, actually, on something of a sabbatical in New York City.
And you've been there a handful of days. You've already heard a bunch of concerts?
I have. Several a day, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow.
I just go running from one place to another, whether it be, you know, a church or a jazz club or a concert hall or museum. And I've got it all charted out, you know, as to how I'm going to do all of this. And so far, so good. It's terrific. I have a nice, bright, airy apartment. It's fun living in Lower Manhattan. That's an area of the city that I have not heretofore known too well. And so it's really quite nice to get out and get around and learn a new part of New York City.
Beautiful time of year to be there, too. Is there evidence of spring?
Some, yes. It so far has been a little bit on the chilly side. You know, you do need a jacket in the mornings. But otherwise, been just terrific. Couldn't be happier.
And I understand you've taken WFYI with you.
I have.
We're following you.
You know, and I just love it. It's just wonderful. Every morning I get up and on my iPhone, I go to WFYI Listen Now. And so it's just as if I'm home. I'm keeping up with the news and what's going on in Indianapolis, even though I'm sitting here in my apartment in New York City. And, you know, I think what a great thing. What, you know, technology has brought forth that we can do this kind of thing. It's just wonderful.
Makes the world very small.
It does.
Well, enjoy your sabbatical in New York City. We expect to hear lots of great stories when you're back. But don't think too much about work and Indianapolis while you're gone.
I'm sure I'll have some stories I'll tell and others I won't.
As it should be.
Right.
And meanwhile, we will. You will be back in plenty of time. We'll see you at the concert on May
13th.
Yeah.
Sharon Gamble with the American Pianists Association's Joel Harrison. Hear Emmanuel Ax in a Brahms-inspired program at Schrott Hall at Butler University on Tuesday, May 13th at 7:30. Learn more at AmericanPianist.org.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon?
If someone stops you and says, Mayday, 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 they probably are not looking for help.
Are you sure?
I think they're probably reminding you that now is the month of Maying, and you should hang baskets on someone's door. Well, actually, you should have done that this morning if you're hearing us Thursday night. Mm-hmm. But, hey, it'll be a real surprise if you hang the basket of flowers and treats on their door.
That sounds like a
lovely
tradition.
For them to discover Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
We have some other things you can do to surprise your friends and neighbors on that calendar we call
What'll We Do? First Weekend in May Edition.
Woo!
No,
that was an F1
Kentucky
card.
Kentucky Derby is this weekend.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Cloppity-cloppity-clop. I can't do horses very well. Sorry. Can we borrow Garrison Keillor's sound guy?
No, we need some sound effects on this show. Okay, well, here's some other things going on around town. Sure, I know you touched on this briefly last week with your interview about the Phoenix Theater and the new musical they're commissioning for next fall. But a musical they have going on right now is titled Spun. Mm-hmm. And it is running through May 11th. And it's a story of a brother and sister who are sort of kind of like a little bit like a White Stripes rock band type of thing. And their family and their relationship. And it was originally commissioned and produced by the fellow National New Play Network, which the Phoenix is a part of, out of the Bloomington Playwrights Project. And so very cool. Definitely worth checking out. It's going to have some great music in there, some folk and metal and blues and all types of stuff. A rock and roll musical at the Phoenix.
Rock and roll musical. Well, here's somebody who wrote some lyrics that were kind of shocking and ahead of his time. It was Cole Porter. And while I don't think you're going to hear anything shocking if you go hear the ISO do Cole Porter's Anything Goes in concert, you know, sometime
anything
before
goes.
Or after you go, you should look up the unexpurgated lyrics to some of our Hoosier guys' original songs. Anyway, that's coming up at the ISO Friday, May 9th at 11 and 8, and Saturday, May 10th at 8. Jack Everly on the podium, Broadway cast, and oh my gosh, such hummable music. You're going to go out singing if you go see Cole Porter's Anything Goes in concert, Hilbert Circle Theater, the ISO next weekend.
Well, you've got me in the mood for that sort of music, so I'll transition here to the Songbook Hall of Fame has just named their 2014 honorees, and the inductees are going to include Nat King Cole and Linda Ronstadt and Johnny Mathis.
Wow.
And they're going to have a big gala, their 2014 gala, at the Center for the Performing Arts, and the Michael Feinstein Great American Songbook Initiative will be putting this on Friday, June 20th and Saturday, June 21st, and you can get more information, of course, at the Center for the Performing Arts website. But pretty cool that they are continuing to honor these great singers through their Hall of Fame.
Johnny Mathis, Linda Ronstadt, and who was the first?
And Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole. Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh. Those are three tune meisters and mistresses, I would mm-hmm. say. Yeah.
Well, you know, Cole Porter was a 2012 honoree. That's what got
me thinking
about
I knew there was something about
there
him
we go.
I liked.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Hey, speaking of tunes, I Love a Piano continues at Actors Theater of Indiana at the Center for the Performing Arts through May 11th. Time is short. If you love yourself a piano, you better check that out soon.
There you go. And I Love Me a Piano. Hey, the Indie Convergence is doing its 7th annual Arts Residency Workshop here in Indianapolis. It's running from May 6th through May 16th. May 6th through May 17th. And the Convergence is basically, it's a series of workshops. Most of it takes place down at the Wheeler Arts Community Center in Fountain Square. And lots of different artists from around the country, as well as local visual artists, as well as dance and theater, and there's classes, and most of it is all open to the public. Some you have to do registration, some you have to barter for. Some of the projects are connected with a theme, some are not. It's all pretty cool, and but there's so much that it's probably just best to say go check out the website, indieconvergence.org, and you can look at the full schedule of all the different artists that are coming in from all over the country, including from Haiti and
wow.
from Melbourne and from New England and Indianapolis, and that are then be doing all sorts of workshops and everything from, as I said, like theater and dance and photography, and definitely worth checking out. So if you are an artist in town or just want to play around with that for a while, then check out indieconvergence.org.
Hey, sometimes when the weather starts to get warm, people just have a yen for a road trip, and they often want to go towards water. Here is a reason to head in your car down to the southern part of the state, to Vivi, Indiana. This Saturday and Sunday, Switzerland County galleries, artist studios, and local businesses will all be open during the brand new Artisans Tour of Switzerland County. It takes place this Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 4. No admission charges. Artists will have items available for sale. And 20 artists representing all kinds of artwork will have their work on display, and we'll be doing demonstrations throughout the event. You can get a map of artisan locations at the Switzerland County Visitors Center, which is at 128 West Main Street. Or you can go to switzcotourism.com. That's SWITZ cotourism.com to learn more. Just a good reason to have a not-too-tight agenda, just motor on down to Vivi and check out some artists and look
like
at the river.
Sounds like a lovely day trip.
Yeah, indeed.
Or if you feel like being a tourist in your own town, instead of motoring, doing some walking, you might want to check out the 5 Thursdays, 5 Neighborhood Walking Tours that Indiana Landmarks, in celebration of Preservation Month, is partnering with Historic Urban Neighborhoods of Indianapolis to do these different historic neighborhood tours every Thursday in May. It's a 90-minute tour. They start at 6 p.m., cost $10 a person, and you can learn all sorts of history and learn about revitalization and house styles and check out interiors of some homes. Each tour covers about a mile, and then there you also have the opportunity to maybe get together with your group and continue the conversation at a neighborhood tavern, which is pretty fun. The next one coming up on May 8th is Cottage Home, and then May 15th through Meridian Park.
That's where I live.
There you go. And Lockerbie Square after that. And then the final one takes place on the Old North Side. And so these are very cool. You need to go to, you need to register for these. So you need to check out Neighborhood Tours on Eventbrite, or you can call Indiana Landmarks at 636-5409 to get more information.
Very good. Hey, the IRT is closing its 42nd season. You'll hear more about this, I believe it's next week we're talking about this on The Art of the Matter. They're closing their 42nd season with The Games Afoot, which is a witty and glamorous comedy thriller. It is the sort of play where there's a lot of knowing humor about it. So a lot of stereotypical kinds of characters. So you know there's going to be somebody who twirls a mustache and a flirtatious lady and that sort of thing. And in fact, a lovely lady is returning from Michigan, Priscilla Lindsay, who went up to head the theater department in Michigan. And is having a fabulous time in Ann Arbor, is coming back to be part of the cast of The Games Afoot at the IRT, which runs through May 18th. And it's just a wild and funny ride. It's just a lot of fun. Nothing too heavy, so good for warmer weather. So grab a date and go check out The Games Afoot at the IRT.
Very cool. And, hey, I just wanted to mention that this is pretty much about the last 2 weekends to check out the free films that have been part of the Italian Film Festival that's been going on at IUPUI. And they are showing movies at the Campus Center Theater on campus. And if you just do a little search on their website or on Facebook for Italian Film Fest, you can get all the schedule for the last 3 movies coming up over the next week or so. And they're all free and Italian. How fun is that?
That's how do you say free in Italian?
I have no idea. I'll work on that one.
Somebody's going to email us, I'm sure. Hey, here's something. I can't tell you all the details, but if you go to imamuseum.org, you can learn more. When the Matisse exhibit was at the IMA, one of the most fun parts of it was to go into the little adjoining room to see all the artwork created, mostly by young people, but also by adults, who were inspired by Matisse. And the IMA kind of took that lesson and extrapolated from it. And for the next year, They're doing something called Inspired by Nature, which takes art-making activities to the next level through the use of iPads. You can learn lots more at imamuseum.org, and we might even have somebody in and do an interview on this because it's kind of a groovy idea, deeply interactive, a chance to appreciate great art along the way as well.
Very good. Well, Sharon, that is all the time we have this week. We'll be back next week for that calendar that we call
What Do We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
Young Actors Theater has a lot of shows lined up for their kids this May, including Peter Pan, The Jungle Book, Treasure Island, Robin Hood, and The Odyssey. Travis DiNicola spoke with YAT's Justin Wade about the shows.
Justin, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Always great to see you.
So it's good to see you, too. I'm glad to be back. Thank you.
Absolutely. So spring shows coming up for the Kids and Young Actors Theater. Let me see if I got all this. Peter Pan, Jungle Book, Treasure Island, Robin Hood, and The Odyssey?
Yes, sir. You are correct. Those are our five productions this May.
All right. That's awesome. That's very fun.
Yeah, at the Athenaeum Theater. It's kindergarten through 12th graders. The 8th through 12th graders are doing The Odyssey and Robin Hood.
Okay.
And then The Jungle Book, Treasure Island, and Peter Pan are kindergarten through 7th graders.
Very cool. So The Odyssey, I mean, we're talking like the Greek Odyssey?
We are talking the Greek Odyssey. This is a play version of the Greek Odyssey. It's directed by Georgiana Smith, who is our head of acting now. We just recently changed her title.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. It's got a bunch of, we're trying to do a lot of movement pieces. Like, you know, we don't do musicals at Young Actors Theater.
Right.
But we are doing, you know, theatrically using music in straight drama scenes where in doing a lot of movement that isn't musical theater oriented movement, but that is like dramatic, like
theatrical
stage movement to music,
sure.
Music and like is like choreographed in a way, and it's really cool. It's like a new addition that we've been adding and using in a lot of like different programs that we do.
So these are all coming up in May. How long have the kids been working on these?
This is like our classes that our fall session starts in September and ends in January.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start in February for our spring session, and it ends in May. So this is the end of our spring session. And when Young Actors Theater was started in 1976, there was always a fall session, a spring session, and a summer session. And there was one play at the end of each of those sessions from 1976 to 2005 when Catherine, my sister, and I took over Young Actors Theater. And then as we started growing, we started adding on plays as our numbers increased with people that wanted to take classes from us. And these are all associated with when you take a class at Young Actors Theater downtown on Mass Ave at the Athenaeum Building,
mm-hmm.
Which is an area that is changing by the month. This is going to be the coolest summer in Mass Ave history. I can guarantee you that. And you should really think about, if you're a parent of a kindergarten through 12th grader, coming and checking out what Young Actors Theater has to offer.
It's great because, I mean, like I said, I mean, there's some new restaurants going in, but of course,
totally.
There's a cultural trail.
Mm-hmm.
There's the new Pacers bike share going in.
Yeah, you know. And the bike share looks so cool. And so our teenagers walked up the other day into rehearsal at the Athenaeum, and they saw the stuff out there for the bike share.
Yeah.
And they were like, man, this is awesome. We're going to use this all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're all obsessed, like, with bike riding, too.
Cool.
And, you know, at Indy Reads, too, you know.
At the bookstore, yeah.
We love Indy Reads, and we appreciate everything you're doing with Indy Reads, and our kids are over there all the time. You know, Natural Born Juicers opening up is a really cool place on Mass Ave. And Mass Ave just has a culture that I think really fits in to have a youth theater down there. And it's one of the reasons, our programming, I think, is the number one reason for our success. But
mm-hmm.
I think being on Mass Ave is just one of the great pluses for Young Actors Theater.
Oh, the kids love it. Yeah, absolutely. And, and we love having them down at the bookstore, too. How many kids do you have in the program now,
between all
the ages?
Overall, we serve, in all of our programming throughout Indianapolis, we serve about 1,800 kids a year right now.
Okay.
We do about close to about 200 kids for our main stage programs, but our program has grown way beyond our main stage programs. So that's where the 1,800 comes from, and that's from Young Actors Theater's broken up down into four things now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's school programming, which is where we go into the schools. We have really deep relationships with the Center for Inquiries, and also we are part of the dramatic program over at Heron High School. Another part of our program is YT Social Issues, and that's where we take plays throughout.
Those are more sort of the hard-hitting
yes.
shows that
yes.
the kids are doing. I know there was the one, the girl whose brother had died from a heroin overdose,
right.
that the kids did a show that dealt with that before last
yeah.
Winter. Yeah,
yeah, that was Carson Meyer, and
yeah.
we raised $1,800 for her college, and she's had some really hard things she experienced in her life, and it was a play about drug addiction. But we do social issues plays on all kinds of different things. We just switched them over to devised plays, where our directors work with the kids, bring in a bunch of poetry on the subject matter, different writings on it, different stuff from blogs, and they put everything together and they form a play together
mm-hmm.
on the issue at hand, which is we try to do issues that Indianapolis is dealing with at the time. And then another part of our program is family friendly side projects, which are studio productions where kids audition and some make it and some don't. Mind you, because in our main stage, it's the end of classes that everybody that signs up for gets a part.
Right. Everyone who's in the class gets to be in it, but then you do these other plays where they have to audition. Right.
Right.
Okay. And again, you're working with kids kindergarten through 18?
Yeah, kindergarten through 12th grade. Like, we got to a certain point where we have a lot of kids that graduated out of our program. Our retention rate's so high that by the time kids get done with our program, they've done, you know, a lot of times over 20 plays.
Wow.
And one of our goals is to create as many theatrical opportunities in the city of Indianapolis as possible. And we recently changed our mission statement, actually. And our official mission statement is creating theatrical opportunities to instill confidence, creativity, and discipline in youth. And, you know, we see a lot of kids who graduate in 12th grade, and they actually want to do more with us. But Catherine and I had a long, hard discussion and decided that Young Actors Theater is going to be – we're going to serve kindergarten through 12th grade. That's the age that we're experts in. And we understand that age group, which is a large age group. Mm-hmm. We understand that age group well, and that's who we're here to serve. Our new vision statement, which I wanted to also bring up, is to empower youth for life. And one of the things that makes Young Actors Theater unique in the city of Indianapolis is our end result goal with our students is not necessarily to just create great actors.
Mm-hmm.
It's to give kids, to help them to be empowered for life so that they feel like that this was one of the things that helped them to go for whatever their dream may be in this world.
You know, and I was going to say, I mean, listening to those new mission and vision statements, and it's certainly not to say, Justin, that the work you do isn't about the art and the kids getting to make great art.
Mm-hmm.
But first and foremost, your organization is about developing kids.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's really just that theater happens to be the tool you're using in many ways,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. And, you know, we just started a poetry collective group called Urban Compassion. And it's another example of how another art form can come in Young Actors Theater. What's behind Young Actors Theater is working once again using different arts as a platform.
Mm-hmm.
so that kids can gain the core values in our program and so that kids understand, like, you know, what it takes to really go for your dreams, because we believe that school of any kind, whether it's Young Actors or another school, is, you know, a place to learn how to follow your dreams. And I see this in Young Actors Theater again and again. When kids have success in business, they always come up and talk to me about how this program gave me what I needed to give me the juice out there to mm-hmm. to make my own business a reality, and or to be self-employed, or to, like, go for this dream job and really have the have the goal to, like, really push forward, like, in a population that's, like, never going to slow down, to stick out somehow.
Justin, the plays that you have with all the kids that are coming up in May, what are the dates again for those?
The dates for our plays, we start on...
Because you spread it out over two weekends, right?
Yes, we start the weekend of May 9th and then go into the next weekend of May as well.
And then what's going on this summer for you guys?
For this summer, we have seven different week-long workshops that are all going to be at the Athenaeum, and they range from makeup design to an improv workshop and advanced acting and beginning workshops. And then we have one long 4-week workshop that ends in the play Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
And this 4-week workshop is going to be Monday through Friday from 9 to 2 p.m. every day. That's a really cool time, like, to come down once again to Mass Ave and, like, hang out with our teachers for the summer, who have a lot of really cool stuff planned this summer. We do a lot of stuff outside, and this we're also doing a really unique version of Alice in Wonderland. We're kind of doing an Alice in Wonderland theme right now. We just did Alice in Wonderland at Heron High School. We're doing it this summer, and then our fundraiser this year in the Beer Garden on October 5th will be called Down the Rabbit Hole.
At the Athenaeum, yeah.
At
cool.
the Athenaeum, yeah.
For the summer programs, kids don't necessarily need to have any experience or have been with you before, right? You're signing up new students?
Every single thing at Young Actors Theater is always for any student in Indianapolis that thinks they even are remotely interested in theater.
Mm-hmm.
While I have kids that have done, you know, 30-plus plays, and which is something when I was a young person in Indianapolis, I was hungry to
do plays. Yeah, there's just not that opportunity.
There wasn't.
Yeah.
There wasn't. And now there is. So you can do, you know, 7 or 8 plays a year, especially if you're involved with YAT, because we do so much work. But if you're remotely interested, we are always, everything we do, even the stuff that we have auditions for, always has somebody who hasn't acted before, and it always has somebody who's been on the stage or who is on the stage mm-hmm. all the time.
Cool.
So there's always a range. And if you ever even like in your head think, you know, you watch a movie and you think to yourself, like, you know, I wonder if I would be good at acting. I know a lot of people, you know, watch movies and they think to themselves, like, you know, I'd like to really try to understand what acting is, or they, you know, in the back of their head, like, wonder how they'd be at acting. You should really think about getting some core theater lessons downtown and seeing what's going on.
Excellent. Justin, you're doing great work. And while I got you here, I want to congratulate you on your engagement to Georgiana. That's excellent, too.
Thank you. Thank you. We're really happy. You know, for those of you who don't know, we did a flash mob engagement, which you can see on YouTube under Jana's proposal.
And, pretty cool stuff. It was right on the circle.
It was on the circle in the middle of winter, and it was amazing. It was like one of my favorite days in the history of my life.
Well, congratulations to you, and keep up the great work with Young Actors Theater. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks, Travis. Good to see you again.
Travis DiNicola with YAT's Justin Wade. You can get more information about Young Actors Theater at yatkids.org, yatkids.org.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Bocelli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m., when I'll get a preview of the musical Nine at Footlight.
I'll take a look at this year's Spotlight concert event.
And I'll chat with actress Priscilla Lindsay about her return to the IRT for their season's final play. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here at 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.